crap! I almost forgot!
Wait!
Jaw! I'm saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big Jeep! The best!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Dick Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Second hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. You want to give me 3 inches? I'll take your three inches. Welcome in, everybody. Good morning to you. Hope you survived the devastating hail, tornado, wind, lightning, thunderstorm that we all had to brave through last night. It was just chaos, man. Chaos last night. We will rebuild. Brick by brick, building by building, we will get better. We will improve. We'll talk to Tony Gwynn Jr. coming up bottom of the hour. It is opening day across Major League Baseball. I'm excited. Hope springs eternal. Every market, every city is excited, and then you want your team play one game, and then we all freak out. And I can't wait for tomorrow's freak out of opening day reaction show. Who's losing? Who's winning? Who's winning the World Series? The Skeens throw a no-hitter. It's going to be a fun day across Major League Baseball, and we'll start diving into that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Though, before... I think we all care about opening day. The biggest news probably today is...
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16 tips off, baby.
Got Duke, Arizona circled.
That's the game of the day for you. If I give you one game to watch today, so here's your schedule. You got BYU, Alabama. You got Maryland, Florida. Arizona, Duke. And Arkansas, Texas
Tech.
Yeah,
I think Arizona, Duke.
Arizona, Duke's the game you
want? One, because I think Arizona... I have Arizona the national championship
This is
game.
A big one. They got to win this one. It's a big one.
But I think this is big time.
They are a 9.5-point underdog to the Dukies.
I will probably lay some cabbage
on the skedaddle up to A&A line there after the show before these games tip off.
I don't know. We might have to do something.
I'm going to give you one gripe, and I'm wondering if I'm alone in this. One Sweet 16 gripe. Why aren't these games on all day?
Well, I think, one, now that you're going up against opening day of the major leagues.
Okay.
I think in certain markets.
There's a lot of places that play games at 1 o'clock. You know, there's early games on all day across Major League Baseball.
You can only, when you have multiple games going on, there's two or three games going on. So if you get a dud, you know, we saw that. There were
a lot of those this weekend where the first game of the day would be a dog. Yeah.
We did have, you had some lower seed teams scaring. Robert Morris put a scare into him, games that kept you around. The problem is so if you do that at, 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern, and you get a dud or it's a blowout, how many eyeballs are you turning off to somewhere else and maybe they don't come back for the next game?
Yeah, you could. I would give the sports fan a little more credit than that I think that they would realize the next game starting.
I would like to see them stagger them a bit more. I think you could start the first game at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific.
So the schedule, for those who are wondering, it does not start until, I believe, 4:09 our time is the first game today.
Yeah, 4:09, so 7:09.
So 7:09 Eastern. Yeah. So you got 4:09, you got BYU, Alabama. And then 30 minutes later, essentially at halftime of the first game is probably what they're hoping, although it'll take longer than that for halftime to end, you get Maryland and Florida that tips off. And
they could bump it up a half hour, start everything a half hour
early. Give me
early.
Just a slightly bigger gap there, and I'm all for it. You move it up to about 3 o'clock, and then maybe every hour you start a game instead of every 30 minutes. I'm much more in agreement with that.
The second game is going to start because you're at the same venue, so it's going to start about a half hour after the first game's over.
Yeah, the BYU-Bama game and the Arizona-Duke game are in New Jersey. New Jersey is where they're playing, and the other ones are at the Chase Center in San Francisco.
You could start your pregame studio stuff at 3 o'clock, maybe 3:20, start the first game.
I get the complaints about the standalone games. Valid argument. There were those this weekend, unquestionably early in the day. I'm not a huge fan of the way they lay that schedule out either, where you go like standalone, and then like here's four games at the same time.
Oh, on the weekend? Yeah, it's awful.
Like, what are we, why, I don't quite, I don't there's know more games to about. Deal with. You got a big inventory. Like, those are the days where I'm all for jumbling.
And I don't
together.
Know how much of it's due to also the gate in the market for the fans showing up. Like, if you start, because one of the venues today is San Francisco.
Yes.
And so they're playing at, four whatever in the afternoon, trying to get to the Chase Center.
I imagine would be a bit of a nightmare.
How big of a deal is that?
Not an easy thing to do.
So you have to balance, okay, you know, some of these venues, getting to them in the middle of the day or early, are people going to show up and sell tickets?
I'm going to put out a poll question right now, just a general. Yeah. Let's do a sample, see how the people are feeling on today. What are you more excited for, Sweet 16 or Major League Baseball opening day?
As far as getting into a game, like I'm going to sit and watch this game, probably Sweet 16.
Probably Sweet 16.
As far as the hoopla and the circumstance and what I would talk about more, probably opening day. I think Sweet 16 is just about the game. Get to the game. I don't need a lot of – we had all that last week. We know all the stories. Tell me when
lingering.
The game is. I'll get my popcorn and sit down in front.
In terms of conversation and storylines, baseball, more interesting
storylines, you know, what else is going on? Who's where? Wait, that guy – oh, is he hurt to start the season? What are we doing? I'm talking about opening day of the Major League Baseball season.
You gave me a fun factoid before the show, because we'll get to it a little bit later when we talk Major League Baseball opening day. There's a manager of a team that I'm going to throw out there at some point when we talk. I'm going to see if anybody can name that off the top of their head. If there's one, without looking it up and cheating, can anybody answer this question?
Exactly.
Because you gave me the name. I'm like, wait a minute. What? Okay. So that's my only gripe. I'd like to see a little bit more spread out. I feel like in the modern workplace too, like how many people are cutting out of work early? Dude, the last 2 days with nice weather, granted, I get it, spring break. So
I don't
kids
think
are
for
out.
The Sweet 16 people like on the weather. It's
I'm not saying
always
to
a
leave
tough balance between
who doesn't have the ability to watch a game on their phone in 2025. Like there's ways to get around this if you're stuck in the office and that
if
game
it's
tips
your
at 3.
School.
You're going to find a way.
You'll find a way.
You'll find a way. So that's my only gripe. You get only 30-minute gap, so you can basically have two games going on at the same time. In the first window there, BYU-Bama, Maryland-Florida, and then the second window will be Arizona versus Duke, and then Arkansas versus Texas Tech. So there's my gripe. I wanted to get that out of the way. Not a huge fan of that.
You could bump it up a good half hour, 45 minutes. Not going to bother me at all.
I'm gonna throw this at you and just get your thoughts on
trivia?
It. I'm going to save the trivia for the next segment.
Oh,
so I
okay.
like this trivia. I'm gonna hold on to that. We'll get to that coming up in a moment.
Coach Cal stat?
This is. So I saw this from Reese Davis. You know, everybody's getting ready for the next round. Everybody's talking about Sweet 16, all that. Calipari is the highest seed, lowest seed, however you want to define it, remaining in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
He was on, I believe, McAfee earlier this week, and that's where I saw this. Did you realize that there has never been a coach in the history of college basketball that has taken four different programs to the Final Four? And if John Calipari wins two games, he is the first to ever do it.
How many has Patino taken to the Final Four?
It's a great question. Probably, I'm assuming three.
Providence and Louisville?
Yes. So he has not done it with St. John's yet, obviously.
Right.
He could. He could be the, one
didn't
of these guys.
Didn't do it with Iona.
Didn't do it with Iona. They were good, but didn't get to a Final Four.
I know he's taken the most teams to the tournament. I think it's six.
That sounds about right, because he's bounced around and coached
so
many different places.
Coach Cal has taken Kentucky.
UMass.
UMass with Camby.
And Memphis. All to a Final Four.
Wow.
And he's two wins away from taking Arkansas to a Final Four, and he would be the first coach in the history of college basketball. Now, again, Patino could get there with St. John's.
Right.
They're not going anywhere. He's old, but they're not going anywhere, at least in the short term. So maybe he adds his name to this list as well. And how we react to a stat like that, because Calipari is a very interesting figure in the sport.
Yep.
He's a lightning rod. He's one of those
you love him or hate him
kind of guys.
I grew to be more fond of Coach Cal because he embraced the one and dones. He said, if you want top level talent, this is how the system works. You can bitch about the system all you want, but this is how it works, and he accepted it. And, you know, in order to get him, it's like, okay, I'm going to prepare you for what the NBA is like.
Yeah.
He got NBA first-round talent to come to Kentucky, and guys come off the bench.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize
how deep some of those teams
how much
were.
Of a sales job you have to do and how much faith they have in you that even though I can come off the bench and maybe only play 20 minutes a game but end up being an NBA first-round pick.
Yeah. There's a handful of guys like that on his teams, which is remarkable because
it
doesn't happen very often.
He's an excellent basketball coach.
He is. And it's, you know, there is an appreciation and a respect for evolving with the landscape of the sport. Not everybody's able to. I mean, we're going through this right now in college athletics everywhere.
It's like, all over the place. And now
some
you're
guys
seeing
butt their head against the wall instead of saying, hey, look, I can either stay on the train or get off the
track. Some of the guys that have been in it forever just tap out and just go, I'm not equipped, prepared. I cannot get my head around this thing, so it's time for me to exit stage left. I've had a great career.
I'm done.
But I cannot function in whatever this is going forward.
There's a handful of legendary coaches
who have
done
that. Applaud them, too. It's like, okay, Yeah.
Don't be stubborn and fight against the system. This is the system.
But when
if you don't like it,
get out.
You've
been doing something some way for 30, 40 years, and it is doing a complete 180 on you, I can imagine that's a little much to take.
I can imagine that. I could see that. My only bummer in all of this is I don't believe until we get to a Final Four, we couldn't see Arkansas, Kentucky until a championship game, right? Opposite sides of the bracket.
Ooh, let me pull the bracket up.
That was one thing, the Cedar. Like, how did we not get Arkansas and Kentucky in the same region? You know, that just...
Arkansas...
I believe they're on opposite sides, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they would meet in...
So if Arkansas wins, they play the winner of
the championship.
Could you imagine an Arkansas-Kentucky and championship game and what that would mean for the sport? When Arkansas won their game when they beat St. John's, which was one of the biggest upsets so far of the tournament.
Yeah.
Not in, you know, Arkansas is a good team, like they're in the
St.
SEC
John's
and all that.
Just can't shoot.
No, they're a good defensive team, and then they had to sit their best player at the end of the game because he was awful, and that was a whole nother, you know, subplot of that game. It was hilarious to see the reaction, and this is just a reminder of how psychotic and passionate some pockets of the country are with this sport, where I stumbled into some Kentucky fans and what they were saying, and because Arkansas St. John's was on Saturday, and then Kentucky was playing on Sunday, and all day Saturday it was like, does Mark Pope realize how much pressure he now has on him to go win this game?
If
you bow out in the second round and Calipari's in the Sweet 16,
he knows it.
They ended up beating Illinois, and so they're there
about
as well.
The biggest wacko fan bases.
They're not
Blue is
Big Blue's up there. They're high on the old big board, if you will, of wacko fan bases. I thought that was interesting. Calipari has a chance. I mean, look, they might lose today. They could lose tonight to Texas Tech, and the run could come to an end. Maybe they lose in the Elite Eight, but he is two wins away from being the first coach to ever do that. Take four different programs to the Final Four, which is a remarkable accomplishment. Big schools, small schools, medium-sized school. I mean, just he's done it everywhere. Yep. And Arkansas is here again, the only double-digit seed remaining in the tournament.
Is he still get credit technically for the UMass Final Four?
That's a good question.
Did
I don't
those
know.
Get...
I mean, he does, but I don't know if he technically does.
Erased from the official NCAA record.
I feel like some of his Memphis stuff was erased, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Possibly.
Although in the modern era with what's going on now, like, can we just not do that anymore? Yeah, can we just reinstate all that crap? Like, really?
They won.
I saw it. I watched the games. Yeah. I know that they were there. Marcus Camby played.
The Fab Five
he went to a Final Four.
Four.
Yes. What are we doing here?
What do you want?
All right, let's play some Sweet 16 trivia. Everybody's griping about this in college basketball. There was one program out there that's going against the grain. We'll see if Swag knows who it is. And a fun look at the teams that are alive in the Sweet 16 and especially ones that are playing today. That is next. We'll talk to Tony Gwynn Jr. At the bottom of the hour for Major League Baseball opening day. A little more Sweet 16 next on The Fan. All right, Sweet 16, Major League Baseball opening day upon us. The poll question is up. What are you more excited for today? You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Well, there's been a lot of griping, a lot of bitching, if you will, this week about players transferring and nobody's in it for the grind anymore and why aren't players hopping around so much in college basketball. And there was a graphic that I saw earlier this week, and I thought, I'm going to hold this and I'm going to see if Jason Swigard knows the answer to this question.
Okay.
The Sweet 16 means, I know this is breaking news, there are 16 teams remaining in the NCAA tournament.
Okay, I can do that math.
Groundbreaking news.
You can do that math.
I can even figure, I'm not good at math, but even I can figure that out. There is one team in the Sweet 16.
Okay.
That has, when you look at the top eight players in terms of minutes per game, so basically their rotation,
right?
Has every single one of those eight guys, their original Division I team is the team that they're still playing for.
Gotcha.
Can you name that team? There's only one of them left in the Sweet 16.
Well, we know it's not Arizona.
Not Arizona.
We know it's not Arkansas.
Yep, you go process by elimination. New coaches usually lead to a lot of turnover.
I'm going to guess it's not Alabama.
Nope. Alabama, despite the fact that how long has Oates been there now at Alabama?
He's been there, but that Grant Nelson kid transferred.
He was a transfer. They only have two of their top eight are from Alabama, so not a lot of homegrown talent there.
If I had to wager a guess, I would say Michigan State.
Michigan State is very close. Very close. Michigan State is the only team in the Sweet 16 who has seven of the eight. They have one guy, I believe, from Omaha who is the back end of the bench guy.
Okay.
So, you know, eighth guy in the minutes rotation. No, the team who has all eight guys who their original Division I team is the team that they are still playing for is the Purdue Boilermakers.
Oh, that makes sense.
It makes sense, right? Yeah. He's been there a long time. Coach hasn't left. So a lot of these you get when the coach bounces. You're going to see, you know, rosters from all over the place because portal opens up. You bring in your guys, yada, yada, yada. The top, do you care to guess? So I gave you Michigan State. They're second, so that was a good guess. Seven of the eight. There's only three other teams where the majority of the guys started at that program. So five at least of the eight.
I'm going to say Maryland.
Maryland is incorrect, Bob. No. Only three of Maryland's top eight players are from originally started at Maryland.
Houston?
Houston is one of them. Houston is five of the eight from Houston. They got a player from Baylor, a player from Oklahoma, and a player from Louisiana Lafayette.
Texas Tech?
Texas Tech is not. Texas Tech, ironically, bottom of the barrel in this stat.
Oh, wow. They Even only more have more than Arkansas? Because I thought Arkansas is like everybody's name.
Arkansas has two players who originally started at Arkansas. Maybe they're freshmen. I'm not sure. Texas Tech only has one.
All right.
That kind of blew my mind.
Tennessee.
Tennessee is not. Tennessee has four. So they're at 50%, but not over 50%.
Okay.
So your other ones are BYU. Six of the eight players at BYU began at BYU in their top 8 minutes.
It's always hard to tell because you never know, like, all of a sudden some dude shows up who's a 24-year-old sophomore who's been on mission. You're like, where'd you come from?
Where have you been from? Also, I wouldn't have guessed BYU because their coach just left last offseason.
Yeah, and but you would think there that would was lead a to succession some there.
There
it was. It was not. Everything's planned out
there. Yes. You guess Houston, who has five of the eight. Yeah. The only other one who has the majority of their players who originated from that Division I team is the Duke Blue Devils. They are the only other one.
And that's because they got a fair amount of freshmen, too.
Fair amount of freshmen.
Just playing their first year there.
Yes. Five of the eight players at Duke, five of their eight tops minutes guys, began at Duke. There is only one team in the Sweet 16 that does not have a single player in their top 8 minutes per game who originated at their program, and it was Kentucky. Kentucky is the only one who does not have a single player who originated at Kentucky that is in their top eight rotation in the Sweet 16. So I thought that was interesting to get a look at. There's a great graphic out there, and I could tweet this out. It shows you the school logo graphic of where all these guys began. Purdue sticks out like a sore thumb because it's just the block P over and over and over again. You're like, wow, look at that. How about an outlier in modern college basketball where we all complain? Outside of Duke and Arizona, which is, I agree with you, the marquee game of the night, no doubt about it. Power rank the four for me.
Ooh. Let's see. In terms of...
You could go watchability, you could go general excitement. Just if I gave you a power ranking of these, you got to watch them in this order.
I would say both the games in the East. I think BYU-Alabama has a chance to be, like, up and down massively entertaining.
Yes.
Because BYU can fill it up, but...
So can Alabama.
Sometimes defensively, it's a little... Although they have one of the best shot blockers in the country back there in Cada.
If you want to guess on what Vegas is thinking about that game, the over-unders in the other three games are all below 157.5.
Right.
That's the other high. The over-under in the BYU-Alabama game is 175.5.
Yeah. That one's
that is a massive difference.
Track meet, and it could be fun, or somebody could win by 20.
Yeah.
And then you've got, let's see, what's our other one here? We've got Florida, Maryland, Texas Tech, Arkansas. Florida, Maryland, I think, could be fun, but I also think Florida has potential to blow them out.
Yeah.
I think Texas Tech, Arkansas could be come down to the wire, but I think as far as aesthetically, that might be a bit of a grind.
Yeah. The whole Maryland thing is interesting to me. I don't know how closely people have been paying attention to this. Kevin Willard is their head coach, the head coach at Maryland.
Yep.
And he has had some very interesting comments about NIL and money being invested into the program throughout the course of the tournament. They won the game. They played the best game so far of the tournament, buzzer beater win.
Yeah.
Over Colorado State. And after the tournament, one of the players were asked, what do you like about Willard as a coach? And the first answer from the player was essentially, well, he paid us, so he made sure that the check cash, which everybody's like, okay, that's an inch, you know, that's modern college athletics, so I get it.
Yeah.
But he is actively being interviewed basically by Villanova potentially to go leave for that job, I guess. And so it's this weird. He was asked about the comments. Mike Loxley's their football coach at Maryland. And he basically shot him down and was like, no, the university's invested. We got good backing. The athletic department's in good standing. Willard has not sounded that positive about the overall financial landscape of Maryland athletics. And yesterday he was asked about those comments and the football coach at his own school kind of shooting him down. And he answered the question by just talking about their matchup in the Sweet 16 and just an all-time deflection of like, hey, coach, what do you make of the football coach saying this and this? He said, well, you know, look, their guard shoots 56% when he goes to the left. And 40.
That's how you do it.
And
you just got to filibuster until they stop asking the question when they realize you aren't going to answer it.
The weird thing about the tournament is you have some of this, you know, rumble behind the scenes of are coaches leaving? Are they going somewhere? But McNeese had this. I thought it was going to affect them and Will Wade bounce. And everybody knowing he's bouncing, and his team played great. They pulled off one of the 12-5 upsets in the first round. So Florida's a little bit of a different wagon. That's just an interesting one. That's a subplot. It sounds like he's gone, and he's going to Villanova. And just how that affects them, because Florida so far has looked the part of a number one seed. And they're not even playing their 7'9" guy. Is he getting a lot of minutes? Is he getting any action?
No, I thought they were redshirting him.
Come on. Get that guy in there.
Yeah.
He's cutting down the net standing up.
I know.
I need that guy getting minutes.
Yeah, they wanted to develop him, I think, make sure he was up to the rigors of what was coming.
Can functionally move at 7'9".
It's not like they don't have another 7-footer or two there. Condon is amazing.
Yeah, they got a few big Aussie guys. So the tournament the Sweet 16 gets underway today. First game's not until 4:09.
I think the potential for good games is there. I think the biggest blowout potential is probably Florida.
Yeah,
they got two of everything on that team.
Yeah,
and they can. Maryland's. They need Derek Queen to be able to
operate,
and it'll be difficult against Florida's front line.
So first one, it's not up till 4:09, so you got all afternoon, get your stuff done. Sweet 16 tips off this evening.
Yeah, morning
games
chores today. First baseball game's not till noon.
Yeah, you got
so
a little bit of time.
Get your chores done early.
You got a little bit of time, and then I think it's right when the rain's supposed to start today, too, so it's perfect timing. You go walk inside, rain's here, let's watch
it. If you don't have any chores, go hit a bucket this morning.
That is very true.
See where your swing's at.
Let's talk some Major League Baseball opening day. Friend of the program, Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to hop on our Odyssey Baseball Insider. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming season, storylines to watch. Who doesn't look forward to talking to Tony Gwynn Jr.? We'll do that next. Well, happy opening day, everybody. Major League Baseball officially begins today around the league. We had a couple of games in Japan about 2 weeks ago, but now the rest of the league gets involved in the action, and very excited for baseball to get underway. And now we're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's also a radio broadcaster for the San Diego Padres at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter. Tony, good morning to you. Happy opening day. What is your favorite opening day memory as a player?
Happy opening day, Andy. My favorite memory as a player is my first experience getting ready to take the line as a starter. I think as a kid growing up, watching my dad do it for so long and just kind of being really infatuated with that part of opening day, the first time I got to hear my name called and take the line, that was pretty special.
I'd imagine so. I can't even, the energy, the flyover, all the excitement going into it, that would be a pretty badass feeling. When I asked you as a broadcaster and as a fan of the sport, what are the most interesting storylines? I'm not going to, you're not going to give me like 10 of them, but like two or three storylines that stick out to you heading into this Major League Baseball season. What's at the top of your mind?
I mean, obviously, I'm out here West, so National League West in the division, top to bottom. Maybe not the bottom, but the top four teams.
And nobody needs the Rockies, man. Just throw the Rockies out.
Exactly. The top four teams in that division all, I think, got better. Obviously, the headlines are surrounding the Dodgers and all of the unbelievable moves they made, but the Diamondbacks got better. I think the Giants got better. I think the Padres ultimately got a little bit better, too, when they added Pivetta to the mix. So I think that's going to be the most difficult division in baseball. I think another storyline that you got to look at is what that American League East looks like. Obviously, the Yankees coming off a World Series loss, but the Red Sox all of a sudden went out and made a ton of moves. They look like a team that's going to threaten. The Orioles still have their young core. They're still trying to figure out how to get over the hump. I think those two divisions will be the most difficult divisions to win in baseball.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Insider Calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call click Granger.com or just stop by. We're talking opening day with Tony Gwynn Jr., Padres radio broadcaster at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter. Paul Skeen had some comments. Now, he's getting to start opening day for the Pirates, which I found interesting because they did like an announcement video, which I just chuckled at, like, who the hell else would you start on opening day? He was so good last year. Like, all right. So that wasn't a surprise to me. But he made comments about, hey, man, we owe it to the fan base. We owe it to the city. We gotta break through and win. He seems like a generational talent, and all the numbers back that up from what he did last year. I'm just curious what you expect from him in a sophomore campaign and what you made of him, I don't want to say calling out the organization, but being very public of like, hey, this city and this fan base, they deserve more than what we've been giving them.
You know, Eddie, it's funny because obviously being out here in San Diego, there are a lot of folks that feel some type of way about Paul Skeens winning that Rookie of the Year over Jackson Merrill. But every time I hear him speak, I'm more and more impressed with him. I mean, this young man not only has generational talent, but he seems to get it. He understands, you know, what's important. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit for a young dude coming in. I think he recognizes maybe some of the power that he holds. And, you know, making a bold comment like that, which was very truthful, by the way, I think it's awesome. It's good to see a young guy come out of college and get to the big league so fast and just understand it. Like, he understands what's important. I mean, that Pittsburgh fan base has been loyal, but, you know, I think it's hard to say that it's been reciprocated from the ownership side. And so we've seen guys like Gerrit Cole, McCutcheon.
Yeah.
I mean, a slew of talented players come up through there and not stay. And so I think he's just kind of pushing the button, putting pressure on ownership. Not that it may work. It hasn't worked to this point, but I think he's well within his right to speak his mind on that.
Yeah, if I'm a Pirates fan too, because of the other guys you mentioned, a little concern there of like, yeah, can we hold it? Can we get a deal done now with this
for
guy?
Sure.
We'll lock him up for 15 years or something. We spend so much time in sports kind of complaining about the current structure. Like, NBA gets this a lot. We complain about the too many threes and guys hunting for fouls. I'm curious, as a former player, how you feel about just the current state of the game. I think the pitch clock's been a positive to speed things up, but I got to be honest with you, man. Like, I'm a Giants fan. There's times when I'm watching, like, three straight games where they're using an opener and seven different pitchers, and it's not the baseball I grew up watching, and hey, let's go lefty-righty matchups the entire time in our lineup, and it's just platoon players and not everyday starters. Hopefully trending away from some of that in spots, but as a former player, what do you make of some of that stuff and the way analytics has involved itself in the game?
Yeah, it's not a good watch. You know, I think the baseball nerds like myself and some of the analytic folks understand it, why it's going that way. But in terms of what the fan base is getting to watch, it was becoming unwatchable. And, you know, I think we're starting to see the pendulum swing back the other way. And, you know, baseball is funny like that. I mean, when it swings all the way, and then it slowly self-corrects. I think that's where we're starting to get to now, right? We're hearing less about launch angle. We're hearing, you know, a lot of terms that I heard growing up in terms of hitting, all of a sudden starting to resurface again. And I think that's a good thing. I know in terms of your Giants, you can bet they're going to get away from that. Buster Posey running things over there now. My guess, and just based off watching their spring, they're going to have a much more old-school baseball feel in terms of, you know, real starters, some real guys out there that, yeah, maybe you have a one or two platoons, but it's not like eight of them out there like it has been in the past. So I'm starting to see the pendulum swing, and that's encouraging for a guy like myself who played the game a little ways back.
Yeah, we got to get those batting averages up, man. I need more action. I need more activity. We're missing that a little bit in the sport. So I hope you're right, and it is. I think the Giants will be trending in that direction. Do you got any dark horse teams you like, Tony? Any teams you're looking around baseball you think, man, they're not getting maybe the credit or the attention that they deserve going into opening day?
I mean, you can really look at the entire Central, and that's probably because, you know, no one expects anybody to win. But they got some good teams in that division. I mean, Brewers consistently every year show up when nobody's expecting them. I think the one team you got to look out in that division for is the Cardinals. They're coming off of, you know, what they say is the worst season of, you know, one of the worst seasons they've had in a while. But they got a lot of young talent, and if they can get that young talent to figure it out at the big league level, I think a few of those guys are going to. It could be a team that all of a sudden goes from, you know, last to the top of that division. That's the dark horse I see is the Cardinals coming out of that Central.
Interesting. I like that. They got, yeah, not the longest World Series odds that they've had in a long time. It's been such a good organization forever. There's a team out there that has the lowest over-under in terms of Vegas win expectancy in like 35 years. It's the White Sox. Their over-under this year is 53.5. Would you take the under on the White Sox? Because that's historically bad. And what's the worst team you ever played on in your big league career, and how hard was it at the end of the season?
You know, it's funny you asked me that. Somebody asked me that the other day. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know that I played on an atrocious team like that. Probably the worst team I played on probably had some of the more stars than I think I can remember. And that was the Philadelphia Phillies team in 24. It was an aging Jimmy, an aging Chase.
Yeah.
And you still had Ryan Howard. You still had Cliff Lee. But we just couldn't quite figure it out. It was just a lot going on that team. It's probably the worst team I played on. In terms of taking the under, I wouldn't. And it's probably more personal than it is factual. One of my good buddies is Will Venable. He gets the opportunity to manage this team. And having talked to him during spring a few times, you know, he just has such a positive outlook. And I think just the mere fact of having new energy in that room could do some wonders for him. Now, I don't think they're going to finish anywhere but at the bottom of that division, but I do expect them to beat the over on the over under number.
I mean, it's not asking. Yeah, we just got 54 wins is all we need, man. That's not that high. That's not that high of a bar to jump over. I'm with you on Venables too, man. He was a hell of a player to watch in his career. Well, it's a fun day around opening day. Last one for you, Tony, before we let you go. This is the one day probably across the bigs, outside of maybe the White Sox and Marlins today, that every ballpark will be sold out. The fans will be there. Just, you know, hope springs eternal, right? Everybody's excited for the start of the year. Give me your least favorite ballpark to play in as a player and your favorite ballpark to play in as a player.
Oof, my least favorite. I'll start with my favorite. My favorite was Chicago. Yeah. I mean, there's just, again, as someone who grew up in the game and got to experience those places, to be able to play in that stadium for the first time was really, really amazing. I enjoyed that. The worst, you know, we don't get to go there no more, and that's a little bit sad too, is the Coliseum. By the time I got to the Coliseum, it was pretty run down. So that's probably the worst one. But I'm a sucker for nostalgia. So like the Bostons, the Chicagos of the world, L.A., I love going to those stadiums and playing.
Great stuff. Tony Gwynn Jr., give him a follow on Twitter, at Tony Gwynn Jr., Padres radio broadcaster. Happy opening day, man. Thanks so much for hopping on the show. Enjoy. You guys got a good one today for opening day, so can't wait to watch that later this afternoon. And hopefully we can do this again soon.
Thank you for having me, Andy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, there you go. Tony Gwynn Jr., the Padres radio broadcaster and Odyssey MLB insider. Tony Gwynn Jr., supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has all the right products for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Love talking to that guy. I love his energy. I love watching him as a player. But he sounds so much like his dad, man. It just is identical. Oh, yeah. And it just...
Yep.
It's a trip talking to him. It really is. But so much fun. Opening day is here. He used up, though, one of my trivia questions that I was going to use.
Well,
okay.
That's coming up here in a second.
We'll talk about that on
the
other side.
We'll hear from him here in a second.
We will. I was going to ask the trivia question today. Can anybody name the manager of the Chicago White Sox? Because you told me before the show, and I'm like, wait, Will Venables is the man? I was just watching him on the Giants like 2 years ago, but you know, he's a young guy. Love watching him play. Will Venables is always one of those random guys that you just, I don't know, there's something about him. I love his swing. I love his style out there. So big fan of Will Venables, and I did not realize that he was the manager of the White Sox until I got in today. We're going to hear from him from a moment. We kicked the Daily Ticker, by the way, from our good friends at Pelican to 8:15, so we'll talk to Andrew Nimmick about a little draft and recruiting news coming up in about a half hour. Let's stick in Major League Baseball, though, baby. The lowest over-under win total role in a very long time in the sport. Best storylines going into the season. Give me your hottest Major League Baseball takes. I know we got people in the YouTube chat saying they got their Mariners World Series tickets ready to go. What's your hottest Major League Baseball take? 503-864-6326. We'll talk some more baseball on opening day next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Spray crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Interesting play on this segment, Jason Swigard. A year ago, it probably would have been your team, but they won the championship last year.
Yes.
Who is under the most pressure this year in Major League Baseball? What organization?
I think both of them in New York.
Both of them. Would you put them ahead of Philly? I see Philly to me is interesting because there's a lot of aging guys, a lot of guys in contract years. Seems like this might be their, not last run because Harper's not going anywhere, but they could be having a shuffling of chairs
maybe
there.
Maybe some individual players, but I think.
Even with Gerrit Cole out for the year, does that take the heat off the Yankees at all?
Because
that's
no.
A massive blow. You lose your number one guy.
I think there's tons of... I think if they don't figure something out this year, I think the Cashman and Boone era could be done.
Interesting. They would actually make a move.
They just go, you know what? We've given you guys how many cracks at it here?
A lot of cracks at it. They've been around a long time.
We need to redo it.
Cashman's been there forever, man.
He's had a long run as far as GMs go.
Yes.
And then the Mets spent all that money and Juan Soto and are they going to do it? And what constitutes doing it? Because they're going to lose the NLCS to the Dodgers. So I said that, Sook.
Yeah. The Mets one is interesting. I would say more pressure on the Yankees and the Mets because they lost Soto in free agency.
Yeah.
And so you used to be the big bag. That never happened to the Yankees. You don't lose guys.
They put eight guys on the injured list to start the season.
It's insane. They are incredibly banged up. Their ace pitcher is out for the year.
Yep.
And so you've lost one of your biggest bats from the lineup, not to mention the other injuries, and your number one guy's out for the year. Like, that's tough to overcome. The Mets are always under pressure because it's New York, and New York just comes with pressure. The way that I view them, though, is like Cohen's just gonna go buy more. Like, that guy has no care in the world.
True.
If they fall short, maybe they make some moves at, manager or general manager, whatever.
Yeah.
He's just gonna go spend more money next offseason. That's all he does. He just keeps throwing money out there, which I would love if I were a fan. Like, hell, man, keep throwing your weight around. That's your strength as an owner. Pay some luxury taxes. Who cares? Let's go over the limit and let's see how good we can get. That's what they did to go get Juan Soto in the offseason. Those are two good answers. I would throw Philly into that mix as well. I feel like Philly is encroaching on that, where they've been really close, almost kicked down the door with this current run. Got to the World Series a couple years ago, so been knocking on the door, but they have not been able to fully break it down. Who is your sleeper in Major League Baseball this year?
I don't know how much of a sleeper the Orioles are, but I really think the Orioles, and I know that they've got some injuries. Henderson starting the year.
They're also banged up a little bit.
They're banged up a little bit.
You trust their pitching staff?
They lost. That's the big if, is they lost, a front-end starter.
Corbin Burns.
But I think that bullpen is ridiculous.
Okay.
So they only need their starters to go five innings.
Yeah.
And then they've got it. And I think they will have more consistency now with those young batters. There won't be so much fluctuation where they go on a hot streak and then they go, they hit 201 for a month. I think they'll, and that's a tough division. But I think the Orioles, I expect them to be in the ALCS, if not the World Series.
They got to win a playoff game first. Didn't they get swept again last year?
Yeah.
Isn't it back-to-back years they've been swept?
That's why I think in that regard it's a bit of a sleeper. Because,
it would be. They've been close, but
I know there's tons of talent there, and I'm not going that far off the reservation.
Sure.
But I really think they will be more consistent day-to-day, game-to-game playing
okay
all season long.
I'm going to throw you Isaac Rops. Kansas City Royals. Now, they were a playoff team last year, too.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, they were in the postseason last, but they've just, they went through the rebuild. They've stocked it full of young talent. I look
Bobby Witt Jr. is amazing.
He's an incredible player. I look at that division. The White Sox are going to be horrendous this year.
They stink.
I don't know what to make of the Twins. I don't know what to make of the Tigers. I know the Tigers snuck in the back end of the wild card. That had more to do with the bottom half of the American League in my mind.
The Guardians should be good.
Guardians should be good. So I look at it as a pathway where there's you can kind of wiggle your way in there, similar to the way that they did last year, winning 86 games. And that's a team that with a frontline guy like Bobby Witt Jr., they could get hot and go on a run.
And I'm curious to see, too, with Skeens.
Is Bizana going to get the call up this year?
Is who?
Travis Bizana.
Oh, Travis Bizana. I don't know why he wouldn't.
I mean, that's got to happen at some point, right?
Yeah.
I would think so.
When they feel like he's ready and comfortable. And
I know he's starting at Double-A. I saw the story that they were assigning him to Double-A to start the year, but at some point he's going to get the call up for Cleveland, you would imagine.
I wonder if Pittsburgh can get a wild card.
I mean, Paul Skeens to me is maybe one of the biggest, if not the biggest storyline of the entire sport this year. What he did last year after getting called up by Pittsburgh was remarkable. He started essentially 10 games and then was a starter for the National League in the All-Star game. He has a level of talent on the mound that we have not. He has rarefied skill.
Yeah.
He's already calling out his organization. He came out with quotes, and we talked to Tony about it just
a
moment ago.
They've already got to be figuring out how to get a long-term contract.
Would you sign it if you were Paul Skeens?
I don't know.
What about that organization has given you any belief that they will spend money and be competitive year in and year out?
Yeah, for him, it's not about what they're going to put on the table because, you know, if he's willing to ride it out until he gets to free agency and arbitration and that, you know, I don't think he's in any hurry to get his big payday.
I imagine he's doing fine. Livy Dunn's bringing in millions of dollars.
Yeah, he's got NIL like, stuff.
They're doing fine.
He's good. So
he's not broke.
Then it's more about, okay, let me see what you stockpile around us. What do we develop? How do you develop and draft and that stuff? And then are you willing to bring in now another piece?
Or retain our other guys that we develop and not let guys walk out of the door or trade them for other spare parts as you basically start another rebuild. Like, they have seen so many big-name guys come up and come through Pittsburgh and then ultimately leave before they hit free agency or shortly thereafter because that's who the Pirates, they're one of the worst organizations in sports. He had a quote the other day, he said, we owe something to the city. This is bigger than all of us. There's a reason why Andrew McCutchen keeps coming back. We've seen the videos of the wild card game. I'm tired of watching them because it was a wild card. The fact that that's the golden era of recent Pirates baseball, that needs to change. That was his quote going into this season.
Ballpark.
Beautiful ballpark.
That team has rabid fans. They will support you as long as you give them something to believe in.
And they have not done that very often over the last 40 years.
And you've got the Penguins, you got the Steelers in town.
Yeah.
So
you got a lot of competition. And baseball, the way they've operated as an organization has not been at that level. And so he's pitching today. He's in Miami. To me, I said this at the end of last year, and I genuinely meant it. And I'm going to say it again this year. Like, he's one of those guys on MLB TV.
Yes.
That when is he pitching, I'm going to watch.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to watch it over my team's game.
No.
But on like a Tuesday afternoon, they're playing a 4 o'clock first pitch over in Pittsburgh, and the Giants are playing a late game. I'm watching that start. He's that good. He's that captivating. And so he, to me, is one of the biggest stories of the entire sport this year. Very excited for Major League Baseball to get underway. Cannot wait. First game is up at noon. Happy opening day, everybody. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Couple more baseball thoughts in the final hour of the show. Andrew Nimick's going to join us coming up at 8:15. Oregon and Georgia are battling for the number one quarterback in the country. Also, the Ducks are losing recruits right now to USC. How much concern should there be that the Trojans have woken up? We'll talk to Nimick about that. He also follows the NFL draft closer than anybody in this building, and so we'll get some draft thoughts from him coming up here in about 15 minutes. A little bit more on the Sweet 16. We got some poll questions to answer. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.